I'll stop meddling now. So why do bad things happen? We don't always know. But we know there's always been the mentality that when something bad happens, it must be God punishing us. Another one was in Acts chapter 28. I just want to make this very clear. I feel the Spirit of God wants to make this very clear, because this kind of thinking can be deep within us. I found it deep within me. Even now yet, sometimes things happen. And you say, well, what did they do? I think, well, what? You know, why? Well, they did this and they did that. And maybe they did. But I am not the one that should be judging them. We allow the Word of God to judge them. Am I making any sense? I am saying we must walk in mercy. We must walk in forgiveness when we minister to people. If God gives you a word for a certain person and so forth, then just deliver it and let God deal with it.
Yes.
And many of you have received words for people. I know that. But when I give that word, I can try to interpret it to you. But when I interpret it to you, I'll probably come across as being condemning. It's quiet in here this morning. I don't know why. So Acts chapter 28, Paul ran into this as well, and you know the story. They were shipwrecked on Malta, and they were on shore, and I guess it was cold there. And so they made a fire, and Paul brought some wood. You know, Paul wasn't that high-minded that he felt that everybody else had to do the work. I just had to throw that in.
Selah.
But he had this bunch of wood, right? And all of a sudden, there's a snake that hung from his arm. And I don't think he overreacted. Doesn't appear that way. But the natives did. They said, oh my goodness, he must be a murderer. And he's trying to run away. See, the same mentality. And it was, you know it was a poisonous snake, because they were waiting for him to fall over and die. And then he didn't. And this is how fickle people can be. Then he didn't, and then all of a sudden, first they were saying he's a murderer, now they're saying, oh, he's a god. We cannot judge things by natural means. We judge things by the word of God.
Yes.
And so Paul ran into this same kind of thinking that because a snake hooked onto his arm, a poisonous snake, that he must have been a murderer, and he was running away from it. So we know this, we know that we have authority over the enemy. We used Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I'm going to share a number of scriptures here as long as we have time. So you know this scripture, it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10. And this is about the armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Yes.
Finally, my brethren. And this is after he had talked about the mighty power that's on the inside of us. This is after he had talked about who we are in Christ, and that when we received Christ, we received the mercy of God into our lives, that we cannot work for our own salvation. And then in the latter chapters, he talks about how we should live and walk this out in our lives. Because we are in him, then we should act like we are in him. So he's talking about those kind of things. Like he says, don't lie anymore. I mean, he talks to Christians and says, don't lie anymore. He's talking to Christians. Well, they must have had a problem with lying or not telling the truth. And I've been in cultures where that's a common thing. I've been to India many, many times. And I've been to Africa in many different places. And many of those cultures, they don't think twice about telling you a lie. And that's probably what Paul was running into here.
Yes.
But we're not to be caught in that. We're supposed to be transparent. We're supposed to be truthful with one another. Because if I'm not transparent and if I'm not truthful with you, then that will affect my relationship with you. And when we're not transparent with one another, those that we are close with, if we're not transparent, concerning the things we're experiencing, husband and wife or whatever it may be, whoever it may be, that will be a hindrance to your relationship with that person. Because there's always this little shadow and this thing that's not quite out in the forefront. And if that's in the back of my mind, my relationship with that person will not be clear like it should be. You can't have the closeness because that the transparency and the clarity in the things that I'm dealing with those that I'm close to, that will bring a strong bond of relationship and trust. That's right. With one another. If I find out that Kathy is doing something and she's been doing this for 50 years and I never knew it, what does that do to our relationship? There is nothing that I know of. And I don't even look for things because I trust her. But if something would come out, and this happens in marriages a lot, something that comes out that for years this was hidden, all of a sudden that trust level goes way down.
That's right.
Not just in marriages, but also in relationships in a congregation.
Absolutely.
If there's things that aren't clear between us and we find out that, you know, maybe you're talking behind my back and things like that, you know, all of a sudden that trust level isn't there anymore. And we cannot walk closely in relationship doing what God wants us to do together as a group if we do not have that kind of trust level. Are you hearing me today?
Yes.
So where was I? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That is one of the wiles of the devil. He tries to get us in disagreement with one another. I don't know why I'm talking about this. I wasn't planning on it, but anyway. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, if there's things that are happening, I'm not wrestling against you. That's what it says here. If we have things that are happening in our midst and the devil is coming against us, we cannot fight him in the physical. That's what it's talking about. Because the physical realm can't contact the spiritual realm. We contact God by the Spirit.
Yes.
And the reason the enemy wants to be on the inside of us is so he can contact the physical realm. If we could see in the spiritual realm, this building would look completely different. Because it would be full of angels, and maybe on the outskirts there would be some demons and things like that that are here now. So we can't, because we're in the physical realm, we can't see into that spiritual realm unless God at a certain time would open up our spiritual eyes.
Yes.
To those kind of things. So in the spirit, we worship God in spirit and in truth. So we cannot, I know this is a bold statement, we cannot contact God in the physical. We contact God in the spirit. Our leading comes from the Spirit of God.
Yes.
We get in trouble when we think that our leading comes from the physical. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't use physical things, but if I want to contact him, I contact him from within, from the Spirit. So it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and all these things, which we have looked at a couple weeks ago. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What's the evil day? We live in the evil day right now. It's not this special day where there's all this evil. We live in the midst of evil, because this world has never been redeemed. So we live in the midst. So we can stand in the midst of the evil day. We can stand against the enemy. We can stand against the evil.
Yes.
So that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This word stand is interesting. You know, sometimes we think we need to have to be so aggressive against the devil. Well, he's already defeated. And if you want to be aggressive, that's fine. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But here it says you stand. And in the New Testament, in the epistles especially, that's the picture we have when we come against the enemy.
Yes.
That we stand, like that little squirrel last week. Remember the story about the squirrel? You know, so stand. We stand. What do we stand on?
The Word of God.
The promises of God, the Word of God. We stand on that. You know, I just thought of this story now. There was a number of years ago, there was two 747s that crashed in Canary Island or someplace like that. I don't know if some of the older ones would remember that or not. One was taking off and one was on the runway and they collided, exploded. I don't know how many, I mean, hundreds of people were killed. I'm thinking 500 something. These are the big 747 planes. So there was one man on there. He gave a testimony later. I think he gave a testimony at Full Gospel Businessmen Places. He was on there, and he was standing on the Word. And when that was happening, he was in the cabin, and he was on fire. He says, God, I'm standing on the Word. I'm protected. I'm standing. He was shouting that out while people around him were burning. He said, I'm standing on the Word. He said, the next thing I remember is this. I saw a hole in the top of the plane, and I was going out that hole. And if you've ever been in a 747, there's no way you can jump from the aisle and jump out the hole. It's too high. And then he said, the next thing I know, I was running out across the wing. And those wings are way high. You familiar with me? I don't know how high. 60 what? 60 feet, maybe even higher. So he said, I was running out across the wing, and I jumped off the end. This is a testimony that he was giving. Because he said, I'm standing on the Word. I'm standing on the Word. Stand. Amen. So when things come against us, we stand. And we remind the enemy that we're standing on the Word of God by telling him the promises that we believe in.
Yes.
So then goes on and says, after you have done everything, stand. Stand.
Yes.
So we stand against the enemy when he comes into our lives, when he tries to come into our lives, when he tries to come into our families. We stand against him. And then when it's a congregation like this, we stand together against him.
Go ahead.
We stand. And that's why we're in agreement. We stay in agreement because we can stand together and we can defeat the enemy, not just here, but we can affect this whole area.
Yes.
When we stand together against the enemy.
Right.
There's power in agreement.
Yes.
And there's power when we stand in agreement against the enemy.
Amen.
So again and again, Paul says, guard against those things. Don't let dissension come in. Don't let this come in. He says, you're carnal. In Corinthians, he says, one of you says, well, I believe in Paul. I follow Paul. And the other one says, well, no, I like Apollos. Another one says, no, I like Cephas's messages or Peter. But he says, you're carnal. Because there are some divisions and arguments and disagreements among you. I'm not preaching this because I sense there's disagreements and arguments in our midst. That's not why I'm preaching it. I'm just, the Holy Spirit is bringing it out.
That's right.
So like Brother Hagin used to say, you can either say.
Oh me.
No, he used to say, how did you say it? Oh me or oh my. We have other scriptures. Look at 2 Corinthians. Okay, I need about 2 hours here today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I keep threatening to have a time when we're going to have teaching. Maybe it's not a threat, but it's something that we will probably do sometime. Where maybe we'll have 6-7 hours on a Saturday to just teach about something. Would you like that or not? I don't know about 6 or 7 hours, but I can teach that long, so don't worry about that. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, for though we walk in the flesh. It was interesting. Randy's teaching this morning, you talked about the flesh. And then there was something in a song that talked about how we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. How we need to keep our eyes on the Word of God. Because it is our flesh that wars against us many times. That is another reason why bad things happen to good people. It's because we are reaping the consequences of our flesh, or the decisions that are made according to our flesh, and it opens up the door for things and evil to happen in our lives. So we have to deal with the consequences sometimes. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." What does it say? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, right? "But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Thank you, Randy. So there again, we see that our weapons cannot be according to the flesh. Our weapons are the Word of God.
Yes.
We have the Word of God. We have Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We have the authority on the inside of us.
Yes.
We have the name of Jesus.
Yes. Go ahead.
Hallelujah. And then we have Spirit-filled prayer.
Yes.
We have so many different weapons. We have the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
It says in Revelations, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So we have the word of their testimony. I mean, Pop's testimony.
Yes.
That was encouraging.
Amen.
Amen. And when we testify about the things of God, we come against the enemy and we shut the door. Because
yes.
He tries to come in.
Yes.
But he can only come in if we have an opening.
That's right.
But let's read this a little bit more, or talk about this a little bit more. "For though we walk in the flesh..." It is very clear from other scriptures that we won't get into today. "But when I walk after the flesh, it produces death in my life." Now, it may not produce the physical death right away, but it will produce death in other areas. I think you were talking about this. Like, it will produce death. In other words, if I make a decision according to my flesh in my business, it may cause failure in my business. But if I follow the leading of the Spirit of God, it will produce life in my business. Or in everything you do,
yes.
It'll produce life.
Right.
And that's what it says in different places. Romans, Colossians, Ephesians. It says if we follow the flesh, we will reap the consequences of it, which is death. But if we follow the Spirit, we reap the consequences of following the Spirit, which is life.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. And we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Therefore, we make our decisions according to what he's saying because we hear his voice. And it will produce life for me and for the people I touch.
Yes.
It will produce life for my family, for my wife, because we will be reaping the consequences of good things.
Amen.
Now, we know, according to this, it talks about thoughts. And to me, this is a progression that happens. You take it backwards. It says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds." I mean, there are some strongholds that had to be uprooted in my life. Some of those strongholds came when I was a kid, and the things I was taught about God when I was a kid. Even today, sometimes I have a problem. Problem's a little bit too strong a word. But to accept and to just fully understand the love of God because of the things I learned in the past that God was not a loving God. Stronghold. I went to Rhema and we heard good news and teaching, which uprooted that stronghold in our lives. And we found out who we were in Christ.
Right.
Freedom and life. Then it says, "Casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity." Now take it backwards. Everything starts with a thought. Good or bad. It'll start with a thought. So the enemy comes and puts a thought in there.
Yes.
Now sometimes the thought is because of my background or what's on the inside of me. My computer has to be reprogrammed. So sometimes thoughts come from that. But other times thoughts may come from the outside. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting and you were holding hands praying?
Yeah.
thought comes into your mind. And you're like, where did that come from? Oh, I know you're all too spiritual for that ever to happen to you. You know, it's like something just out of nowhere, this crazy thought comes. I can't think of any specific ones right now, but just like, I'm supposed to be spiritual in prayer and in agreement, and the crazy thought comes comes. Where's the thought come from? It may be the enemy. He just injects something in there. But we're supposed to cast them down. You've prayed already. You've been holding hands already, and your nose gets itchy, right? Right at that time, you want to... Well, I guess you guys have never experienced that. I don't know. So we bring down every thought, bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Oh, you know, there's this big storm coming, and you're gonna have damage in your house. You're gonna have a tree fall on your house. Take that thought into captivity. That's not a thought of life. I have a promise that everything I have is protected. So then how do I bring that thought down? It's the battles in the mind realm. I take the thought down by, no, in the name of Jesus. No evil can befall me. No plague come nigh my dwelling. No pestilence can come near me. That's how we combat those thoughts. And then if we start meditating on the thought, oh, I got this pain. Oh my. I bet it's cancer. Come on now. What do we do with it? Psalm 103.
Yes.
Amen? But if I start meditating on that, then it becomes an imagination. You start seeing yourself, oh, what am I going to do? I'll probably go to the doctor. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to the doctor. And I'm not saying you should necessarily ignore the pain. But I'm saying what happens in our thought realm. And right away, we think of the worst things that are going to happen to us. Oh, after a while, we said, I'm going to die. Well, it's true. I am going to die. But not right now. So we have to cast down the thought. If we don't, we start meditating on it, and it becomes an imagination. It's how it is with the Word of God. So this, you read something, and it's a thought in your mind. You meditate in it, and then it becomes imagination. You imagine yourself living like that. But then if I keep going with it, I allow this thought to become an imagination, next time I see you, Paul, I'll speak it to you. Do you know I'm having this pain? I think I have cancer. I'm afraid. Those words are what cause it to be a stronghold in your life. Because then the devil can really work. I've just given him a license to work in my life by speaking the fear that he's put into my life. But the Bible's very clear. The battle's in the mind. And it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, that's where the thoughts are. And that's how we overcome him. That's how we stand. That's how we resist him. The way we resist him is by speaking the promises and the word of God. I said this a few weeks ago, I think. Some people pray, I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke you, devil. I don't know if that's effective or not, but for me, it doesn't seem very effective. What really rebukes him is when I speak the word of God to him.
Yes.
And every time, even if I'm thinking about it or not, every time I speak the word of God, he is rebuked. My preaching here this morning is a big rebuke to him.
Yes. Indeed.
So let's not just use our own words like, I resist you, devil. I rebuke you, devil. Let's start using the words that God gave us from the word of God. That will truly rebuke him, and that will truly resist him.
Amen.
And we can go on rejoicing, happy. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. Amen. Well, I'm done. Hallelujah. Let's stand. You know, I love preaching to you because you pour it out. I don't know if you know this or not, but when you're up front preaching, you can tell.
Okay.
Like you start drawing on it, it's like sick 'em to a dog. Just want to keep going. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word of God. I thank you for each person in this place. I thank you for each person that will hear this word. And I believe, Lord, your Holy Spirit will cause it to bring comprehensive insight into our lives. We thank you that we are victorious.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. No matter what happens around us, the word of God is true and solid and a firm foundation.
Yes.
And no storm can shake the foundation of the word of God. So I pray, Lord, that we would be diligent in building that foundation into our lives. So when the storms of life come, they will come. When they come, that foundation remains strong. And we can be overcomers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The ladies' breakfast, just to mention this, March 2nd, which would be next Monday, right? Not tomorrow yet. It's been changed where you're meeting at Lion's Pride Restaurant at Dairyland Square in Redline. And then also the men's breakfast is on the 7th. That was on here, I think. Yeah, on the 7th rather than the 14th this month. Because the 14th, there's something else happening here on the 14th. All right. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you for being here.